Okay, praise God. All right, we're going to talk today. Come on up here, Danny, with me. We're going to talk about the nativity today. We're going to talk about families are led to specific places. If you take notes today, I want you to write this down. It's really easy, and almost everyone in here knows this. Right alignment, right assignment. Right alignment, right assignment. Being in the right place at the right time. Yes. Everybody say right alignment.
Right alignment.
Right assignment.
Right assignment.
If you'll just read down through the scripture, we're at Luke 2:1. Imagine that.
Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place, Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn, the shepherds and the angels. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid."
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
"Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them."
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Good job. So what we see here is during the time of Caesar Augustus that the Roman Empire had actually doubled. Way bigger now. And what we know is that to pay for the expansion, Caesar Augustus ordered multiple censuses in the land to determine how he could grow his tax base. So to accommodate this, everyone is having to shut down their businesses, close up their houses, and go to their hometown or to the place of their lineage where their ancestors are from. So Mary and Joseph, as you know, are from the lineage of David, and so they're going to have to go to Bethlehem. And so they begin to make the journey to Bethlehem. And 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Micah prophesied that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem. So we're going to see that he prophesied even more specifically in that moment. And I want to show you some of those things. Danny read the scripture there. It said in verse 4 that Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. Going up here means that there was an elevation. He wasn't going north. Galilee's actually north of, and Nazareth are north of Bethlehem. But so they're actually traveling uphill. And that appeared to be on a donkey, 9 months pregnant, walking uphill. Now it's 70 to 90 miles depending on the route you take. And so that means 20 miles a day. Now, we used to ride our horses to the Dairy Queen. And we had our horses out on a ranch, and the Dairy Queen was out on I-35. And we found out that we could walk our horses, which we preferred to do, except for when I got to Travis Elementary School, they had all these trees lined up and you could pole bend. So I would pole bend on my horse in and out the trees. But the rest of the time we're just walking. I found out we could walk about 6 miles an hour on horseback, just taking it easy. But imagine you're on foot with a donkey. So you're having to make a lot, that's a lot of going. You have to keep going. And so, 20 miles a day. And so walking uphill. And so they do get to town, as you know, you all know the story and we just read it. And we do know that Mary, went into labor. And so they're looking for a place to stay. And, you know, Hampton Inn is full. What can I say? The Hilton's full. The Marriott's full. Actually, these are people's houses and they have extra rooms in those days. And the interesting thing we see is that there was a comment made by one of the innkeepers that there was, and that said in the story, there's no room in the inn. But if you get technical, actually, he would have said, there's no room in the inn for you. Because according to Jewish law, when you're going to labor, you're considered unclean. So she cannot come in to just any place. She has to find a place to have the baby. So here they are already in town. But then they remember that when they came into town, they remembered there was a place. So you're going to have to kind of get rid of that idea that the innkeeper said, well, you can have my stable. That's not really what happened. Everybody just said no, and they're looking, and they remember a place that they can go to. And so it's just outside of town. They had already passed that place. Did you happen to get that picture? Okay, if you'll put the picture up. So this is a nativity set that's at my house. You can't see all of it. It's huge. But I wanted just to zone in on this. This is called Fontanini. These are from Italy. And the artists make these and they ship them into the United States. And every year we buy one more person or animal or whatever to go to our Fontanini set. And Danny has one and Jesse has one. And so we give them one every year. By the way, this year was Simeon. Simeon is the one who saw Jesus in the temple. And if you recall, the Lord gave me a prophetic word that said, like Simeon of old, who saw the Messiah, you will see the glory of God. So I'm believing this. That was just a sign to me. Our little Fontanini is Simeon this year. Okay, so here we see, you know, okay, the angel's laying on the top because the nail fell out and stuff. Anyway, so you got some shepherds over here with some sheep, and then see the wise men. And like there's four of them because we know there weren't really three. We're going to talk about that next week. But you see the little building with a donkey in it? That never happened. Okay, thank you. And so they get out of town and they're finding a spot. And when they had come into Bethlehem, let's say that you're leaving HEB and you go up here and you're on 1431 and you hit a road there called 281. Yeah. Now you got your choice. You can go, to Jerusalem or you can go into Bethlehem. Okay. So you could go to Burnet or you could go to San Antonio, Johnson City, whatever. So it's a road like that. They're coming up there and they go, okay, Jerusalem that way, Bethlehem's this way. So they turn and they go to Bethlehem. Now on the way back out, so they're looking and they're walking back out that way. And you could go straight from Bethlehem into Jerusalem to the Temple Mount. Okay? You can go straight up there. So on the way in, they're passing these shepherd's fields. And but they weren't just any old shepherd field. And these weren't just any old shepherds. Yeah. I don't know if you knew this or not. But they were selected fields and shepherds who were temple ordained shepherds. Wow. They had been taught to raise sheep and birth lambs in a certain way. Okay? So, they would care for them, and, the lambs would be used in the daily sacrifices at the temple. And so twice every day, rotating units would make a 6-mile journey up to Jerusalem, up to the Temple Mount to fulfill the sacred ritual of, the sin offering. They would sacrifice a lamb for their sins. We get that, right? All right. So, and they were trained by the priestly order to do that. So, now everything had to be perfect with those lambs. You remember all the way back to Exodus? How they took the lamb, put the blood over the door. So they're always celebrating the Passovers, but this, remember the sacrificial system came in for this reason. Let's just back up just a little bit historically so I can remind you. God wanted to be with his people. He wanted to be present with his people. The Israelites were like, you talk to him, Moses. And so they had a lot of stuff go on that didn't quite work. Remember, he went up to get to talk to God. And they decided to build a golden calf because they still had Egypt in their hearts. So they're not acting right. And then so finally, they're just afraid of God. And so God gives 10 commandments because they said, just tell him to tell us what to do. We can do it. No, they couldn't. But they said that. We can do it. So he said, all right, try this on for size. So he gives them 10 commandments. Okay? So they can't keep the 10 commandments. So our God, in all of his mercy, builds a sacrificial system that would stay in place until the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world could come to earth. So some of you may needed to know that. So that's what is actually going on. They're making these sacrifices in the place waiting for Messiah to come, right? Not really understanding exactly how that's going to play out. Yeah. Isaiah prophesied it, but they didn't quite get the whole thing. So anyway, here we are, and they're still making sacrifices. Now out there near in those fields, there's a place called the Tower of the Flock. Mm-hmm. The Tower of the Flock. It's Migdal Eder, or Eder, they say. Migdal Eder. Migdal means tower. Okay? So there's a place called the Tower of the Flock. You can find this in the Old Testament in several places. So it's a birthing room for lambs. It's a very clean birthing room. And so everyone knew what it was. It was also an ancient landmark. So it was very familiar to people. Now, there are a lot of caves around there, so I don't know, and I can't prove this, but it could have been sitting up, where a big place comes out and there was a cave. I don't know. But I do know that this was a place where they were birthing lambs in the bottom of it. Okay. Now, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. It's a tool for the shepherds because, well, I'll just tell you now, it's a lookout tower because there were sheep snatchers. And so they're having to look out and, make sure nobody's stealing anything. But the bottom section of that place where there is just a place in that particular tower or a cave, I don't know that. We don't have a picture of that exactly. But in that place is the birthing room. Okay? So, the baby lambs have to be prepared for the temple there, perfectly clean. So, you know that donkey that's in my manger? He was not there. Those goats were not there. There were no dogs in there. This place is a clean, totally clean place. Now, here's Micah. Micah 4:8. And you, O tower of the flock. Imagine that. The stronghold of the daughter of Zion. To you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come. The kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. The tower of the flock was already there. The shepherds made it what they made it. They used it. And it's an ancient landmark. Now, here's some history for you. You know who Rachel is? Calvary. Yeah, she's back there. But Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife. He worked for Laban to get her, and he got tricked and was given Leah. So he worked 14 years for this girl. And so she's very special to him. Now, when Jacob met Rachel, do you know what she did for a living? She was a shepherdess. She was watching the sheep. Guess where she watched the sheep? In Bethlehem. Right there. She's watching the sheep. Now, so she died giving birth to Benjamin. You remember that? Remember that she couldn't have children, and Leah was, you know, really proud of all that she, you know, everybody's having kids but her. So she ended up having Joseph, and then she had Benjamin. Well, during childbirth, she died with Benjamin. And Jacob buried her at Migdal Eder. Was buried very close to there. And then so Jacob pitched his tent not far from where she was buried. So he stayed in the area close to the temple, the Tower of the Flock. Did y'all know that? See, this is fun, isn't it? It broadens your view of what's going on. Now, get this. Before this happened. No, I'm sorry. After this happened. That happened before. You know who Ruth is. You know who Boaz is. So you know that Elimelech left, went out into Moab. The Moabites, you know who they are. I think you probably know who they are. I'll just tell you that Ruth was a Moabite. The Moabites were the ancestors of Lot and his incestuous daughters. His daughters had children by him, which created a group of people called the Moabites. So the Jewish people looked at them as unclean. Now keep that in your thinking here as this gets interesting. So when Ruth goes in and Boaz starts liking her, you know, he sees her in the field. Who's that sister? You know, he's kind of liking her. Well, he's going to be willing to buy the land that used to be Naomi's land. Guess where? In Bethlehem, right there. Okay. So, but there's a kinsman in line before. That should be able to buy the land for Naomi and Ruth. But he didn't want to have anything to do with it because she's a Moabite. Right. Okay. Yeah. So he gets out of the picture. He's not going to do it, which puts Boaz in the next place. So Boaz buys the land. Boaz redeems Naomi. He redeems Ruth. They get married. Who's their child? Anybody know? Obed is her child. Who's his child? Jesse. Who's Jesse's child? David. What'd David do for a living? He kept the sheep. Guess where? Isn't that interesting? And so you just go right down the line with it. Now, we can't prove it, but David might have been keeping the sacrificial sheep. He could have been, because he's always going up and, you know, he helped Saul. He played music for Saul and all sorts of stuff. We can't prove that. We don't see it in the word, and we don't have a historian to tell us about that, but it could be. Now, so there's just so much more. Let's look at that scripture one more time. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Migdal Eder, or Eder, the tower of the flock. This is referring to a location in Bethlehem where there was a tower to guard the temple lambs. And all of this history is laid right out there on that ground, right outside of Bethlehem.
Wow.
Right alignment? Now, the tower, not only do we see it in the Word, and I'll tell you, you can go trace this back. If you'll take your Bible and you'll go to Micah, you'll see the tower of the flock. It'll trace it back to Ruth and to Rachel. You can see it in your references. But we also have, history proves out in the Mishnah. You know what the Mishnah is? The Mishnah is, actually, it is the record of Jewish oral law. They had a lot of oral, things that they passed down. Remember how Mary could keep things in her, she could ponder and she could just say, this happened, this happened. When she told, Luke in Ephesus after Jesus had been raised, she could lay out everything that happened. The Jews are really good at this. Yeah. This happened, and then this happened. They knew how to keep the oral part of the word going.
Yeah.
And so she knew how to do this. So they would take the oral laws, and they finally recorded the Mishnah. Because what they wanted to do, they wanted to be able to teach in a more codified manner these things. Because if you just take the Torah, have you ever noticed how Leviticus and Numbers are all, and Deuteronomy, they're all mixed in there together. But the orals, they could say, this is this, this is this, this is this, and this is this. So that's how they did that. So the Tower of the Flock is actually recorded in the Mishnah. They all knew about it. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So, all the things I told you there is there also. So, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion will come to you. The former dominion. So, 1,000 years after Rachel dies, there will be a reappearance of God's kingdom. Isn't that something? Remember the scripture says Rachel's children are crying. So you can follow Rachel's path through there. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just think it's just so cool. The Bible is so filled. What I want to try to get across to you, church, in 2023 is that we can dig into the culture and the customs by studying Hebrew and Greek and finding out what's really going on. And English is just so weak compared to Hebrew. It's so weak. But I'm on a study journey right now. And I can just see how we can get so much more out of the Bible. You all understand that King James had an agenda?
Yeah. Right?
Can you understand that translators have an agenda? Because they can't find words to bring over the thoughts. So you have to watch out that you don't get too modern with this stuff.
Right.
You got to go back and dig. Even the Hebrew alphabet, the letters each mean something. They each have a sound. All the letters have a sound. Do you know God's real name? Everybody says it's Yahweh. Do you know what his real name is? Anybody know? What? Yed-Heh, Vav-Heh. They get that out of the letters there.
Yes.
That's how you really say his name.
Right.
Okay, so that was free. We'll go on here and get back on this. So in plain words, the kingdom of God will appear at the tower of the flock. Okay, that's what's going to happen. Now, I want to say this to you. I know this is more of a teaching thing today, but this is what we needed to hear today. And I want to say this one thing to you, and we'll just have to come back to this. Remember how I talked about them going uphill and things like that? I hope you can catch this, but you can let the land of Israel speak to you. You can let the land speak to you. When you learn things about it, it'll make your Bible come alive. Like what we were talking about, we talked about the Wadi Quilte was the path that David walked. It was called the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he called it. But it was a thoroughfare that he went through that was dangerous. But see, that broadens your thinking when you learn things like this, and it puts you in the picture, it puts you in the imagination, and you can begin to reap things out of the scriptures that you didn't know, which will help you spiritually. And that's free. We'll talk about that later. But just wait till you go to Israel. We walked down in Gedi. In Gedi is the place where Saul and David, you know where David cut his robe, cut a piece of his robe. We went there. And there's little streams up there and water. And so now I have a complete image of what it looked like when he went up there and went into that cave. Why? Because I saw it.
Yeah.
And for about 3 or 4 years after you go there, you're going to go, I was there.
Yeah.
I was there. Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
There's so much more than just the McDonald's that is written in Israeli. That's there too. But now, so what about swaddling clothes? What is that? Or swaddling clothes? Well, the priests sacrificed every day. They have bloody clothes on every day. They took those clothes, they cut them up into wicks and used them for the menorah. And they took the rest of them, and all the menorahs, and they took the rest of them and they used them for swaddling cloths for the lambs. And they were protecting the lamb's legs so they didn't get broken. Because you can't take a broken-legged lamb to the temple. So they swaddling cloths, wrapped them up and took care of them so that as they're getting, you know, they're born and they're getting their bearings, that's their protection, is to be swaddled in these clothes. And they came from the priest. So what about the manger? What's the manger? You know, he was born in a manger. Is that that building? No, we know he wasn't born. That's the feeding trough. Jesus is placed in a clean feeding trough. He's swaddled. He's, as a baby, he's placed in that feeding trough. What's the sign of that? He's the bread of life. He's the bread of life. So they placed him in that feeding trough. Now, John the Baptist said, behold, what? The Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sins of the world. That's just amazing to me. Now, the angels came and they told the shepherds, now, here's a sign to you. You're going to find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in the manger. They knew exactly where to go. As soon as the angels said that, they were like, oh, of course, we know where he is. So they head out to go find him. Listen, church, I'm going to meet you at 2:00 up on the hill for a cup of coffee. Who knows where to go?
Starbucks.
Say it.
Starbucks.
Yeah, I gave you the sign.
Yeah.
I gave you a sign. It's up on the hill.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They said, this will be your sign. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes over in the tower. Yeah. How could they not know? They didn't have to go running around from stable to stable. They also had something else that told them. Praise the Lord. So they know exactly where to go. They know, they see him there. They worship him there. In those days, when a lamb was born and he was perfect, they would light a fire at the top of the tower as a sign. Here's where the lamb was born. But on this night, they didn't have to light a fire because there was a star. And it stayed over and near Jesus for 2 years. We're going to talk about that next week because I'll give you a little hint. Those wise men, those magi, they didn't come to the manger that night. They were 2 years later. They came to the house because Joseph and Mary ended up living in Bethlehem. They stayed there. And so the Magi, we'll talk about them. It's very interesting, a lot of things about them. So anyway, we see the scene clearer here now. Places are important. Places are signs of something bigger. Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And think about this. When Jesus went to the cross, remember Palm Sunday, he heads in. He aligned his schedule to perfectly meet with the activities, the examinations, and the sacrifices of the Lamb. Jesus was slain on the Passover at the exact time the Lamb was slain in the temple. Why? So they could know. So they could go, oh, they were blinded, but they will see. Now, so wouldn't it behoove God not only to set the schedule at the time of the crucifixion, but also to set up the signs at the birth? I don't know how people have missed this. I guess they didn't ever read Micah. But when you go back and look at it, a lot of people do know about this actually. But it's just so very interesting to see all the things that lined up. So it just looks to me like his birth was totally aligned up with the plan to prove to us he is and was the Lamb of God. Even at his birth. What a beautiful thing. Christmas really means a lot of different things to people, you know. I know everybody, some people are just so sad at Christmas because something was taken away from them. But you know what? If we could just move off of that and realize what was given to us at Christmas, what we do have instead of what we don't have, you know, I know here that we don't think Christmas, that the nativity is a cute story for the kids. We all believe Jesus as a baby. We all know there's something valuable there. And I just believe there's some great things that we can take with us today and we can ponder on these things that we've looked at today and ponder in this season. The truth is Jesus is into family. Now listen to me, if you're here and you're single and your family doesn't come here, we're your family. Jesus is your family. We're all family together. And then some families serve here together. Amen. And so, but he is into family. 14 people in Jesus's family. I forgot to mention, Zechariah and, Elizabeth to you last week. But there were like 14 people that had to do with Jesus's ministry. They worked with him that were all family members. And so remember I told you his brothers, you know, James and Jude and, Joseph and Deb and Roxanne were all his kinfolk. No, we don't know the girls' names, but we will. We will. But they had all these people. So God is into families, and families are called. And then the other thing we talked about this week that was so important that we need to ponder on is that Jesus came as a man. so that we could see what men who have the Holy Spirit could do. And we can do that. And then the truth that Jesus actually came as a baby, and that as he grew, he taught us that growing into who you really are is important. It's important to grow into who you really are. If you look at his miracles, he started out with the simpler things. He started out with, it's not simple to us, but water to wine, but he ends up raising the dead. And all in between, you can see gradual growth in the miracles that he did, that they got stronger and stronger, letting us know that we can live the same way. I've preached that to you before. And then that he's born in the birthing place of lambs and in a feeding trough. And those two things just did this for me. I don't know what they'll do for you as you think about it, but it just let me know that God Almighty will give you every sign possible to help you along the way. He's going to show you the way. And if you get off, hey, you can get back on at the next access road, you know. You can start over. It's okay. He'll help you. We've all gotten off, but the signs will lead you back. Amen. And then the second thing that I'm pondering on concerning this is that it just lets me know that things that start in small, obscure places can turn into mighty success. Just there, in that night, you know, they say it was a silent light, but I don't think it was so quiet. Those shepherds were excited. I think it was pretty, a lot of rejoicing going on, you know. But just there in that place, out in that field, where so much history took place. So many things took place in that place. But just in that place, nobody in the town is excited about it. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds are the only ones who are getting a view of what's going on. Whatever you're doing in your life, however small, however obscure, how much you don't think anybody knows anything about you, you may not feel like you're very important, but I'm telling you, you're a success on the way to happen. You are a success. And you are a success because you can follow in the footsteps of this baby. This baby. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I neglected to tell you this, and I want to tell you this as I'm closing. Boaz is the child of a man named Salmon, spelled like salmon. You know, people call salmon Salmon, but his name is Salmon. Interesting enough, his wife is Rahab. Rahab is the prostitute who was on the wall when the spies came into Jericho, and she hid them, remember? And she hid them and said, my family's going to be blessed because I did that. They made a trade, and God honored that trade. So here we have Boaz. We have Ruth, who's a Moabite, who came out of some, you know, what I'm trying to tell you is Jesus' ancestry wasn't just all cleaned up. I mean, go down the line and think about it. You got Rahab here. You got Ruth here. You got David who killed somebody to get his wife. You got all these things that happened along the way. Yet it all turned out all right. It all turned out all right. I'm saying that to you because you may have an unusual family. You may have unusual ancestry. You may have had bad grandpa. You may have had Aunt, what's her name? Which I'll remain, yeah, I won't speak her name. We have fun about this stuff. Your family may be unusual. Why is everybody laughing about that, eh? But guess what? Your family tree is not the same anymore.
Amen.
He is our vine. We are his branches. The Father is the gardener. So we can produce good fruit every day. It's not based on bad grandpa or mean Santa or based on Jesus. Based on Jesus. Yeah, well, you don't know what my kinfolk does. Hey, listen, like I said, Jesus came out of that lineage. He came out of a royal lineage, but people were engrafted into that just like you've been. You are from a good tree trunk. Amen. Praise the Lord.